The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, the Bible says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And we have a lot to rejoice about, and that is Jesus is coming back, and he is also coming to take us. We still believe the Bible when it talks about the rapture, and we'll be taken out of this earth, and then after that, we'll come back with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad you tuned in today. Our program is all about upholding the Bible as the Word of God. Some people say, well, you shouldn't defend it, but you should just preach it. Well, I believe in preaching it, but the Lord says that we're to give an answer for the hope that lieth in us. And other places, it tells us that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered unto us. And so we believe that there's answers, and there is an army of people out there that are attacked in the Bible because they don't wish to have God rule over their life. And so they spend a lifetime attacking it. And so we can hold it up, we can defend it, and we have many reasons for it. And I want to talk today about why I believe the Bible's the Word of God. And we're simply saying that the God of this universe that created us, he has spoken to us, and he has spoken to us in a book that we can sit down and read, and he has put great emphasis on the very words. The words are important. That's why we uphold the King James Bible. And he said he would preserve those words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And another place in 1st or 2nd Peter, it states that the Peter, James, and John, they saw Jesus in all of his glory. They heard the voice of God the Father out of heaven, but they said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that is the Bible. It's more sure than even seeing Christ face to face. And another passage of Scripture says that God has honored his word above all his name in the book of Psalms 138. And so today we want to give some reasons why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And we'll start with this one, and it's mentioned in Isaiah 41, verse 21, and I think I'll read it. It says, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord, bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob." Let's reason together. "Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be." And God is saying, let them show what happened in the past. You know, if you study history today, though, in a lot of the books, they give you their evolutionary fairy tales, and then all of a sudden they start talking about the Sumerian civilization that suddenly just appeared out of nowhere. They don't know what happened before that particular civilization, but God has it all in his book, the Bible. He knows the past and he knows the future. So he says, "The former things, what they be, that ye be may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come." Now he says, if you are so smart, tell us what is going to happen in the future. And I know in the media they tried to uphold Nostradamus, and he talked in great generalities, and some things that probably the demons that spoke to him told him some things that they got out of the Scripture. But it's all very general. But in the Bible, it's very specific. And I'll give you an example. Isaiah wrote this book, and he wrote the book, and he told the fact that God had told him that Cyrus was going to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And Cyrus was not born until about 200 years later. And he said that. He says, "You don't know me, Cyrus." Well, He couldn't know the Lord if he wasn't born, but the Lord knew all about him. And God told all about him, how he would conquer Babylon and so on, and then help to send the Jews back to the land. And we know that Isaiah wrote this because if he'd have wrote it at that time, the book would never have been accepted. But the Jewish people had that book. And so when it happened, it demonstrated that God had told him this. And there are many very specific prophecies that happened in Isaiah's day, but then there are prophecies that would happen in the future, and including the great prophecy of the Lord Jesus found in Isaiah 53. By the way, you ought to read that chapter. You could even memorize that chapter because it tells all about Jesus before he came. We have another example of Jeremiah, and Babylon had conquered Jerusalem, and yet the prophet Jeremiah said that the Jews would come back to the land as a nation 70 years later after they had been thrown off the land. And so it happened. And we could go on and on with hundreds of the most detailed predictions of the future and prophecies. For instance, we have in Daniel 9:25, and it says 69 weeks, they were weeks of years. And it says from the order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem till the Messiah, that's Christ, comes, said he would be cut off, and then after he would be cut off, after he would die, the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed and the temple. And so it happened exactly. Jesus came 483 years to the very day when he walked into the city on Palm Sunday. It's an incredible prophecy. And there's a series of prophecies right there in that passage connected with that prophecy. We have the prophecy of Micah 5:2, for instance, and it said that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And then we have the prophecies over and over. It said that he would be of the line of David. You know, nobody today could come and say, I am the Christ or I'm the Messiah, because they don't have the line of David today. But they knew what the line of David was at that time, and the whole Bible is held together by the line of David. And we've said this before, but the devil tried to destroy that line all the way through the Old Testament, and God protected it. The devil, he had zero, and the Lord had batted 100. I mean, he won every single time, and so he is the king, and his word is absolutely true. You know, another reason we believe it, it's the science in the word of God is absolutely true. For instance, the Bible says that everything was after its kind. And we mentioned before that Darwin said, well, the greatest thing that was against his theory was the fossil record. And he thought that they'd find some changes and transitions from one species to another. But it doesn't happen. Now, you, for instance, the canine family or the dog family, there's all kinds of varieties of dogs, but they don't cross over into the cat family or to the feline family. There's no crossing, and there is no crossing in the fossil record. The fossil record clearly shows us the dead animals, dead carcasses, and so on, show us that there's no passing over, which demonstrates that evolution is false. There's no evidence whatsoever of such a thing happening, and yet the Bible teaches that everything is after its kind. We see in the previous chapter, we're talking from Isaiah chapter 41. In chapter 40, it talks about the Lord sitting on the circle of the earth. And so the Bible taught that the earth was round some 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. We have another statement, for instance, and many, many statements like this. The Bible says in the book of Acts, he hath made one blood of all nations to dwell upon the face of the earth. You know, if you go to the hospital, you might be in a transfusion, given the blood of a Chinese person or of an African person or somebody from South America, people that had been born, and these people had been apart for thousands of years, but they have the same blood. You put an ape's blood in a human body, and that person would be dead before they had time to tell about it. But the blood of mankind, it's one blood that God had made for mankind. And so here's a scientific statement. Many of the founders of modern science have got their ideas from the Bible, and they believe that the Bible was the true word of God. We could look at medicine. Moses, who wrote the first five books, in his day, they had the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and one of the remedies if somebody got sick was to use dead flies and ointment, put the dead flies in the ointment. Well, it would remedy the sickness, but it'd kill the patient. And this is, of course, nonsense and ridiculous. But in that time, Moses getting his ideas on medicine and sanitary operation from Almighty God, it said that they should wash in running water. Number one, they should wash with hyssop. Well, we know that hyssop was a plant that killed bacteria in a person or on a person. And so the health regulations, they didn't even find out about this until the middle of the 19th century. And one fellow was experimenting, one doctor, because he noticed when the women came to the hospital to have children, it seemed like that they would die, and if they stayed home most of the time, they would stay alive. And so he investigated and found out that germs were being used and, I mean, were being transported. And they were killing they were opening cadavers or dead bodies with some of the tools that they used to help a child to be born and passing on a disease and sickness. And yet the Bible has the answer for even for medicine. We know the Bible's true because of archaeology. And we found stones, for instance, in Caesarea, the Roman capital, had the name of Pilate on it. They found a stone in northern Israel that was in the area of Dan, where the tribe of Dan was, and it talks about the house of David going back to the time of David. They found, for instance, a stone clay tablet. It talked about Joseph giving out food in Egypt, and this lady over in Yemen, when they had a flood over there and the grave was uncovered, she sent her one of her servants to get food from Joseph when he was in Egypt. He was they had the famine and so on. And so we have king list in Egypt. We have king list in the Sumerian civilization at that period of time. And these kings lived a certain amount of time, and then they talk about the flood, and then they talk about kings that lived much longer periods of time. And so in archaeology, we have the evidence of the Bible being the Word of God. Some people said, well, Daniel couldn't have written Daniel, although Jesus taught that he did it. And he wrote prophecy that was so explicit and so clear that people said, well, it wasn't written by Daniel. It was written at the time when the prophecy was fulfilled. And they still teach that today. But they can't explain how the King Belshazzar was not was mentioned in Daniel, and how he knew about this king. And then they found one of the people in archaeology. They found a clay tablet with another man that was a cabinet member of King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel. If the individual wrote Daniel hundreds of years later, he would not have known of some of these details that they found in archaeology. And so we can trust it from the archaeology. We can trust it from history. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that the Sinite was in the land. And the Bible gives the genealogy of mankind, which is incredibly accurate if you compare it even with some of the records of the ancient nations. And it gives the genealogy of all of mankind right back to Adam and Eve. And it's incredibly active. You know, the Bible says in one place that the Sinite, and it's spelled S-I-N-I-T-E in the King James Bible, was in the land. That is, in the land of Israel today, this group of people lived there. Well, we talk about Sino-American relations, and that's, we're talking about Chinese and American relations. And one of the names for China in the King James Bible was Sinite, S-I-N-I-T-E. I was in a Walmart, and I saw a tag of on something that was shipped here from China. And it had different names of China. At the top it said China. And then one of the names that mentioned for China on this list that had come from China was Sinite, spelled S-I-N-I-T-E, just like in the King James Bible. And so the Bible gives the genealogies of all the nations of the earth. And people have studied these in the past, and they're incredibly accurate. But mankind today, he doesn't even know where he came from exactly. And the Bible tells that. And so historically, the Word of God is true. We think of psychologically, the Bible is true. And we'll take a break right now, and then we'll come back to
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
We have been giving out for years now a paper that shows 100 places where the names of Jesus have been eliminated from modern counterfeit Bibles. And so it has the exact reference of each word, like Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, God, where these words have been left out, and it has the reference. So you can check those references with yourself. And we've been telling folks for a long time now, over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts and early church fathers are backing up the authorized King James Bible. And they talk about the modern versions as simply being an update of the King James. They are not. They're coming from a corrupt text. And we show the we're going to give this out for free. We're even paying for the for sending it out to you. And I found out we were sending out some references where you can find other books on this, but it costs more to do that. So we'll send out the line of the corrupt Bibles, and we'll send out the line of the true. And also we'll send out this this paper. It costs you absolutely nothing. And even we'll pay for the postage, because we want to get this message out. God's word is true, and Jesus put great emphasis on the very words being true. Today, people that read the Bible, in a recent poll over that read it every day, are reading the King James 5-1 over the rest of them, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He said he would guide you into all truth, and he would abide with you forever. And so it's the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. We don't believe the King James is partial truth and has errors in it. God said that his word is true. And so we send these papers out. Now, if you'd like to get this, all you have to do is call in. And we'd suggest you call right away. Sometimes we get a lot of calls, and we can hardly get everybody's address down. So if you would like it, our number is 216-901-0933, 216-901-0933. And the long distance is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, and that's toll-free. The local number, once again, is 216-901-0933. God's word is true, and you need to have a Bible that is true. And so if you would like to call in again, 216-901-0933. All right, I want to continue on this, why we believe God's word, the Bible, is true. Now, it's true psychologically, for instance. And some young people say, well, I'm going to study psychology. Well, the people in the secular world, they're still playing in their sandbox with their tinker toys when it comes to psychology. Freud taught that everything was influenced by the lust of the flesh, because he was overcome by his physical desires. Some Marx was interested in material goods, so he taught it was based on the lust of the eye, materialism. And Adler, his student, taught, or Freud's student, taught it was pride of life. But all of these things operate, and you can study the Bible if you want to understand yourself and man. Study the Bible. You know, I want to mention another reason why I believe it, and there's so many reasons. I only get a few today. But the Bible, you read the New Testament, and every single chapter talks about how to love God and love your fellow man. And when you read it, a love of God will develop in your heart, and a love of fellow man love of the people around you, and it will tell you how to treat your people around you, which is very important. For instance, it says you always treat them with honor. The Bible says this over and over, honor all men. A man, husbands, to honor his wife, treat her with respect. And you do that whether you respect a person or not, you treat them with respect. And the Bible says the lady to reverence her husband. If people would show respect and honor towards each other, it just build their relationship, no matter what it is in the past, if they'd start doing it. For instance, it said, don't rail. And you see television sitcoms or something, they're always doing, they're treating each other with disrespect. It shows them railing. That is, somebody does something a person doesn't like, and they say something nasty to them very vicious, critical words. The Bible says that this is a sin, and we're not to rail. We're not to say vicious and unkind words. We're to confront the problem in a gracious and humble way. But the Bible has all these things. The Bible says love, and love is giving. You always try to do things for a person around you. And so all of these things, the Bible is incredible when it comes to human relationships. And then the Bible brings peace. Have problems or something, I read the Bible and it calms me down. It brings peace. It says, great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That is, they have a calmness when other people are upset. It brings a joy into the heart of a person as they read the Bible. And I could give illustration after illustration. You know, the Bible says that if you read God's word and you obey God's word and you meditate and you think upon it, you'll have prosperity and good success. And I can say that Christians that read the Bible, I have seen this over and over in their life. They can tell how the Lord has helped them over and over and over again. And what a promise that God has given us. I believe the Bible is the word of God because it gives a unified picture of God. It shows that he is the God of love, but at the same time of God of judgment and of justice. And the same picture is in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. And the same plan of salvation, which is faith in the Lord. And God forgives us because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to it. And when they sinned, they went and killed a lamb, which pictured Jesus dying as a substitute for them. And so when Jesus came, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so Jesus, it talks about God coming and dying in your place for your sins so that you can come to God without a record that you have ever sinned. And it shows the love of God for you. I'd like you to remember this verse that sums up the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want this paper, our number is 216-901-0933, 216-901-0933. And we're glad that you listened to us today. What a wonderful Lord and Savior. God loves us, and he paid for all of our sins, and he does us good, and one day we'll see him soon. Praise the Lord.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road, near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.